As a pastor, I have been to more than my fair share of wedding receptions. Now, often, not all the time, but often there's two things that happen. The first is I find the table where I've been asked to sit, and when I approach the table, the look on the people's faces, oh great, the pastor's sitting with us. Of course, within 10 minutes, I've won them over. The second thing that often happens is either the couple or perhaps the couple's parent, one of the sets of the couple's parents coming around, and invariably they ask the question, did you get enough to eat? Did you get enough to eat? I have yet been to a reception where the crowd didn't get enough to eat. Reminds me, too, of my brother. My brother loves to host. He loves to cook. He loves to see people eat. And he has this odd phrase. I don't know if you ever heard this. He says, is that going to get you there? Is that going to get you there? Is that good? I don't know what he means. Perhaps have we arrived at a state of satiation? I don't know. Is that going to get you there? But we hear of a wonderful feast today. Jesus feeding 5,000 plus. You may know that this is the only miracle performed by Jesus that appears in each of the four Gospels. As a matter of fact, Matthew and Mark tell the story again with a different number of people. Surely something special is going on with this story. Now, we have an interesting bracket in the very beginning of the text as we have it laid out in our celebrate insert. Now, when Jesus heard about this being the beheading of John the Baptist, immediately preceding the story we have this morning, there is a flashback to another banquet. This was Herod's birthday bash. Things seem to get out of hand a bit, at least from our perspective. Herod invites his niece to dance before the guests. She does such a terrific job, Herod is blown away and perhaps blurts out what he regrets. Ask for anything and I shall give it to you. Now, the dancer's mother asks for the head of John the Baptist on a plate. And there's more to this story. You can go back and read it. But Herod delivers the head of John the Baptist to the young niece as puppeted by her mother. So Jesus hears this news of someone not only involved in this great ministry of the kingdom of God as John was, but also we know his cousin, and he withdraws. Perhaps to find some safety, or perhaps just to get away for some Sabbath time. Time to be alone with God. And as so often happens, of course, he's not given that time, is he? His ministry has been successful. It's been growing. The crowds have been following him. And this time they follow him out into a deserted place. The sun falls. The people are hungry. It's dinner time. And they haven't thought this through, have they? They're in the middle of nowhere with a very large crowd. There's no concession stands, there's no porta-johnnies, there's nothing. Just the crowd, Jesus, and the ministry that is happening. So the disciples raise the alarm that people are starting to get hungry. You need to send them away to the towns. Now, I read this past week that that in itself is something of alarm. The towns immediately around wouldn't have been able to handle 5,000 plus. Even had they dispersed in enough time to go and get food, there would have been a shortage. So Jesus says, you give them something to eat. And the disciples respond, well, we have nothing. But a couple fish, a few loaves, we have nothing. But there is this. Now Jesus takes what is there, given the size of the crowd, meager fare. But he takes them, he looks up to heaven, he gives thanks, he blesses the food, he breaks the loaves, he gives them then to the disciples. The disciples then give them to the crowd. And lo and behold, there is enough. They had enough to eat. Jesus got them there with the food. But what's more, the text says they were filled. I love the front of our bulletin today. It's filled is made big. We are used to having our fill. We go to restaurants and the portions are huge. We go to weddings and we all have enough to eat. But that was not the common experience of the crowds that this text is referring to in our story today. They had enough to get by. They had enough to survive, if not really live. So not only does Jesus feed them, he feeds them well. And he feeds them so well, they can't eat it all. There are some left over, 12 baskets. The miracle of the fish and the loaves, the feeding of the 5,000. Now, what are we to make of this text? Well, I think there are a few things. The first is, notice where we are in the story of Jesus, as Matthew tells us. Remember, in our last few weeks, Jesus has been telling stories. The kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven can be compared to. Today's story is a story of action. Jesus is showing them, not telling them, what the kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like a meal to which all are invited. A meal to which all are given enough, more than enough, given in abundance. They are satisfied beyond what they thought possible. Notice in the text, it's actually not Jesus who feeds the crowds. It's the disciples who do the giving out. They provide for Jesus a meager fare. Jesus takes that, blesses it, breaks it, gives thanks to God for it, gives it back to them, and then they go out and serve the crowds. The disciples have a hand in this miracle. Surely it falls on Jesus as the Son of God, as the Messiah, the one to perform the miraculous multiplication. But the disciples participate. Jesus doesn't do it without them. Deserted place. Again, another detail not to be understated. This wasn't a picnic. They were out in the middle of nowhere, out in the wilderness, Whenever we hear about the wilderness in Scripture, it should tweak our ear. We should understand that the wilderness, from the Bible's perspective, yes, it is a desolate place. Yes, it is a dangerous place. But we have story after story in Scripture of those who are in the wilderness encounter God in a new and deeper way. A more intimate understanding of who they are as a beloved child, who God is as the one that provides for them. Despite being out in the middle of nowhere, it invites us to contrast their meal with the meal of Herod in the story before. Herod's party, no doubt, was in a lavish castle-like arrangement. No doubt people were finely dressed. They were ill. They had already been attended to. It is the powerful, the elite, Herod's friends. In contrast to that, Jesus has this meal in the middle of nowhere with those of no account and who are in dire need of care and attention. But that's what the kingdom of heaven is like. It is a place, despite where we may find ourselves, what we may have, even if a meager fare, we are met by God in the person of Jesus Christ, and we are cared for. We are welcome, we are included, and every now and then we'll be asked to help out, to give a hand, that others may feel that love that we feel, that others may be included and cared for. Now, the early church no doubt took this story and wrapped some of their theology around it, this new budding theology of what the church was to be about. And the language we find in our story made its way into the language of Holy Communion, the sacrament of the altar. That is a place to which we come, a place where we are fed, a place where all are welcome, all are included, a place where we help deliver the means of grace to the people of God. I often think about our communion practice. Now, I'm not suggesting we change it, so no uproar. But we break off a small piece of bread or a pita or a wafer and hand it to people. I often hear of a story like this in Scripture and of the abundance. Sometimes I wish when we came forward we took the time to consume to our fill. That it would be like Panera Bread up here. Take a bagel, toast it with cream cheese. To give such a meager piece of bread to me understates the grace, the abundance of love being poured out unto us. Now, I know there are very practical concerns. So maybe we can spill that over to an understanding of whenever we gather, while it is not the sacrament, surely it is sacramental in saying that there is the community of God as well. I love what Ed said earlier. We can talk more about this downstairs, where we will take our time. And maybe have a second slice of something. But that too is an important time for the people of God. Not the sacrament, I'm not saying that at all. But it is a time where we break bread or brownies and we lift one another up. We listen to one another. We share with one another. I said in the beginning, this is the only miracle performed by Jesus that is in all four of the Gospels, but it's not the only miracle in all four Gospels. There's another pretty important one that all four Gospels share, and that's the resurrection. Not performed by Jesus, but performed on Jesus by God the Father in heaven, raising him from the dead to new life. Thanks be to God for Jesus Christ, for the gathering of the disciples we call the church, for the ability to give to those in need in the name of this Jesus Christ. Surely we have enough to eat.